The critical issue in strategic planning is to increase the return on equity invested in the corporation. It is to allocate and deploy assets in such a way that the rewards that the company earns are greater than they would be in the absence of the planning exercise. We start off with establishing clear values, a clear vision of what the company wants to become in the future, and a written mission statement that describes the strategic objectives and the positioning for the company. Each person needs to do the same for himself or herself. The purpose of your personal strategic planning is to enable you to increase your return on energy. Since your time is your life and your mental energy is your most valuable resource, your job is to organize your efforts in such a way as to give you maximum rewards and satisfaction for energy invested. Each company and each product or service either has or must develop a unique selling proposition. This is the way of differentiating the company and the company's products and services from the competition. Often it's called a competitive advantage. Sometimes we call it an area of superiority. In every case, it is essential to determine how and where and why and in what degree a particular company differs from every other company that is competing with it for the right to create and keep customers. And what applies to companies applies to you. You are the president of your own company. You are the president of your own personal services corporation. You are in business for yourself. No matter who signs your paycheck, you are working for yourself from the day you take your first job to the day you retire. You may go to someone else's office or company, but you are always self-employed. The failure of many people to recognize this and to behave as though this were true is a major reason for low self-confidence, underperformance, unhappiness, and failure in working life. As the president of your own company, selling your services in the marketplace to the highest bidder, you are completely responsible for identifying your own unique selling proposition. What is it that you do better than anyone else? Why are you special or different? What is your area of competitive advantage? If you had to write in 25 words or less exactly why someone should hire and promote and pay you to do a particular job rather than hire, promote, and pay someone else, what would you point out as your area of superiority? Many people will have a tough time with this question. What matters at this point, though, is that you are asking the question at all. The very fact that you are thinking this way is moving you rapidly into the top 3% of working Americans. Your first question is, what is my unique selling proposition? Your next question is, what will my area of competitive advantage or unique selling proposition be in the future if I make no changes from what I'm doing today? Your next question is, what could my area of competitive advantage be? Of all the areas where you might be able to develop an area of superiority and become really good, taking your values and goals into consideration, what could they be? And the final question, perhaps the most important question on this subject, is the question, what should my area of competitive advantage be? If you could be good at any one thing in the future, whether in 3 months or 3 years, and consistent with your desire to live a great life, what should your area of superiority be? A friend of mine built a company and sold it a couple of years ago. He had money in the bank and he decided to change careers. He had lots of time to think about it and make the right choice. So he went to an industrial psychologist, a friend of his, and took a battery of tests and underwent several interviews to find out what he was ideally suited to do in a new career. At the end of this process, his friend, the industrial psychologist, sat him down and told him that his greatest strengths were consulting and presenting professional development seminars for managers and salespeople. My friend got a little bit angry. He said, "But you know that I'm afraid to speak on my feet in front of a group. You know that it makes me nervous and I become tense even thinking about it." His friend said, "Yes, I know that's true. But you didn't ask me to tell you what would be convenient and easy for you to do. You asked me to tell you what would be the right thing for you to do. And the area where you have the greatest potential strength at this time is in consulting and training managers and salespeople." My friend realized that what he was saying was true. He then went out and took courses where he learned to overcome his fear of public speaking. He learned how to give presentations to a professional audience. It didn't take long, and 6 months later, he began his own consulting and training business. He's now doing extremely well, and he's never been happier in his life. It often happens that your strengths are like muscles, undeveloped and requiring a long period of exercise to build up to the point where you can begin to win competitions. Your starting point is to sit down and set goals for yourself, to decide where you are now and where you want to be in the future. What additional strengths and abilities will do more to enable you to increase your return on energy invested? In what area will a particular strength be useful and valuable to you and enable you to stand out from others? So you begin with the process of self-disclosure. In determining your strengths for the future, you begin to engage in a search process to explore all the different areas where you may have hidden talents. One form of self-disclosure is for you to fill out a series of questionnaires and tests that examine parts of your personality and skills of which you might be unaware. Some years ago, I personally went to an industrial psychologist and took a battery of tests to find out my strengths and weaknesses, and much of my adult life has been affected by what came out of those tests. The tests pointed to areas where I had natural talents and abilities. They also revealed my personality weaknesses and areas where I had little interest or talent. And they can do the same for you. They may save you years of hard work in the wrong job. If you have the time and money, a detailed process of personality and career counseling is a very valuable exercise that can have a major influence on the rest of your career. But if you lack either the time or the money, there are many books full of self-grading tests available in the bookstores. You can take these tests yourself, and they give you very accurate feedback. There are several companies that have developed entire batteries of self-grading assessment instruments, each of which can give you insights into your strengths and weaknesses in particular areas. There are also a series of exercises in self-analysis and self-disclosure that you can engage in yourself with just a pen and paper. These exercises can often open your eyes and help you to see possibilities that may surprise you. Starting in childhood, you have learned how to do and perform a remarkable variety of tasks. You have a tremendous number of skills and talents that you have developed over time, many of which you simply take for granted. Perhaps one of the reasons why so many people have such low self-confidence is because they've never sat down to make up a list of how talented and capable they really are. So, this first exercise for you is to write down a list of everything you do on a regular basis. Write out all your roles and the parts you play from the time you get up in the morning until the time you go to bed at night. If you are a parent, cook, a dishwasher, a driver, a shopper, a reader, a writer, a worker performing various jobs, a buyer, a seller, a negotiator, a teacher, a manager, a salesperson, a typist, a telephone answering person, whatever else you can think of, be as detailed as possible. Walk through your day minute by minute and hour by hour, and write out everything that you do over the course of a day, a month, and a year. When you've completed this list, you will be amazed at how many skills you have developed and which you use on a regular basis. The second part of this self-disclosure and self-analysis exercise is for you to now make a new list where you begin to cluster the various things you do into categories. One of your categories may be a parent. Under the parent heading, write down all the things on your list that you do as a parent that are part of parenting. If you're a manager or a salesperson, or if you hold any other position, write down everything that you do in your job, day in and day out. If you play sports, put sports as a heading, and write down all the physical activities that you engage in. If you're interested in reading, write down all of the subjects you read about on a regular basis. When you've completed clustering all of your roles and activities into groups, the final step in this exercise is to set priorities on each group. Which group of activities is most important to you? Which group of activities is second most important to you? If you're going to be sent to a desert island for an indefinite term and you could only take two or three of these activities with you, which ones would they be? When you've numbered your clusters or groups by priority, you will have created a very clear picture of who you are and what is valuable to you in life. Your next questions might be, What do I need to do in each of these areas in order to get the very most satisfaction and enjoyment from this area? What do I need to do more of and less of? What do I need to get into or get out of? What is more important within each cluster and what is less important? If I had to choose, how would I choose and select among the various things that I do? You'll be amazed at the kind of answers you start to come up with. In my experience, you'll be surprised at the clusters that appear at the top of your list and the clusters, some of which take up an enormous amount of your time, which are not really very important to you at all. But in order for you to really know yourself, you have to take the time to analyze yourself like this on paper. A second exercise which is very helpful in learning more about yourself and which has been a turning point in the lives of many people is to turn to someone close to you and ask him or her what they think you should do with your life. Ask a person you trust what he or she thinks are your strong points and your weak points, your strengths and vulnerabilities. What advice would someone who cares about you give to you about the kind of work you should be doing and the kind of talents you should be developing? Even people who don't know you very well will often be able to give you insights about yourself and your possibilities that will be extremely accurate and may even be in areas you haven't even thought about. I remember driving with a business associate to an appointment that was some ways out of town. We had a chance to talk as we were driving along, and I was sort of wrestling in my mind with what I should do at the next stage of my career. I was seriously considering getting into the business of doing seminars and eventually producing audio cassette programs like this one. On a lark, I turned to him and asked him, in all honesty, if I was going to change careers, what do you think I'd be good at? He sat there and thought for a while as we drove along, and then he turned to me and said, "Brian, I think you'd be very good at speaking and training and doing seminars. You do a lot of reading and research, and you seem to enjoy sharing your ideas with other people. The best use of your time, in my estimation, would be sharing your ideas with audiences." Now, up to that time, I had seldom spoken publicly, and I had never done a seminar before. I won't say that that incident was the turning point for me, but it was the final assurance that I needed to make the decision to become a professional speaker and trainer. This business associate, a casual acquaintance, could see it clearly.